It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back. It's time for another episode of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. We're in season three, and it's episode 29, but we're looking at the number 72. Absolutely. Lots of basketball to go over, but 72, you know, you're looking at that. A lot of probably tackles.
Right? Well, there's some offensive and defensive linemen in there, and then one really good baseball player, Carlton Fisk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Of Red Sox fame. I'm not sure if he's in the Hall of Fame or not.
Surely he is.
If he's not, that's something wrong with the Hall of Fame, which there is something wrong with the Hall of Fame.
Harold Baines is in there.
So. Yeah.
Sure. Surely everybody's seen the video of Fisk trying to make sure the ball's fair on the home run.
Yeah. Well, I've heard Johnny Bench say that ball was well fair. That was all for a show.
He was a good player, though.
Yep, he was.
Dan Dierdorf. Excellent commentator.
Yeah, and was a really good football player, too. He's in the NFL Hall of Fame as an offensive lineman.
Refrigerator Perry.
Yeah, been a long time since you've heard that name.
Well, not really, because Patrick was watching something about the Super Bowl shuffle, and we've been talking about it a little bit.
I got to see that Bears team play in Dallas that year. They took our high school football team, and Perry, I don't believe he scored a touchdown in that game, but he did get a carry or two.
Yeah.
Now that Bears, what I'll remember Refrigerator Perry for forever is him getting a touchdown in the Bears Super Bowl and Walter Payton not.
Right.
That's kind of an injustice.
Yeah. That's what I was just about to say.
Yeah.
Joe Nash.
He was a defensive tackle, nose tackle for the Seattle Seahawks. What I remember about Joe Nash was the Bengals were one of the first teams to run the hurry-up offense, to go to the line of scrimmage and just go, go, go. Well, Joe Nash was famous for his trick knee, and about 20 times during one ball game, he had to come off the field because of his knee, and it's just to slow the Bengals offense down.
Hey, whatever works, man.
That's right.
They don't let you do that anymore, though.
They do not.
But anyway, Tuttle, I know you got at least one Razorback.
We've already used him once recently, using his NFL number.
Mm-hmm.
Freddie Childress wore number 72 for the Razorbacks.
There you go. And so, anything else before we get started?
No, I think we're ready to go.
Let's get into basketball. All right, we're going to talk about the Queen Leopards. Their season's over. They're moved on to baseball, but the Lady Leopards still playing. They played in regionals this week. Went 2-for-3 over in Nashville. Beat Watson Chapel handily by 14,
and avenging a loss at the Coliseum.
Yeah, yep, did that, and then beat Camden Fairview handily. Again, but you know, one of the things in between there, they lost a kind of a heartbreaker to Arkadelphia by 2 points, and they beat them by in double digits twice. And you know, we talk about Tony and I talked about this, but you know, we just never really felt like they were in trouble losing that game. Then all of a sudden, it was over and they lost.
Yeah, there's a couple things you got to give Arkadelphia a lot of credit.
That's true.
They had a plan. They implemented it. It was a defense they'd not played against us all year. Kind of come out to the play defense at the three-point line, which backed our three-point shots up, and then denied Heavenly the ball inside, and it really worked for him.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, again, they go 15 out of 20 from the foul line, and we go 4 out of 6. Well, in a two-point ball game, that's a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is, but anyway, you know what? I think it all worked out for the best, huh?
I think that you'd love to win them all, but I think if we had to lose one.
Yeah, that was the one
to lose. That was the one to lose.
Yeah, because you end up, you know, and essentially, you know, we kind of end up playing the team we really thought we'd be playing anyway.
That's right.
You know, Heber Springs, because we really thought they'd be the 3 seed.
Right.
But they ended up being the 2 seed, and we're the 3 seed. So now it doesn't really matter. It's win or go home. So
but those 2-3 games, they're all coin flips.
Yep.
And if you win them all, nobody else gets to have fun.
That's right. That's right. So looking forward to playing Heber Springs. That's going to be Wednesday at 4 p.m. In Morrilton.
Yep. Since 1966, York Gary Autoplex has been serving Southwest Arkansas. Over 60 years of supporting families, schools, and of course, our scrappers. Just like the scrappers never quit on the field, York Gary has never quit on this community. York Gary Autoplex, celebrating 60 years of service and always going the extra mile.
It's time to talk about the Nashville Scrapperettes and Scrappers. Scrapperettes, 28-3 on the year, had three wins in the regional tournament, and none of them close. Tony.
No.
One of them earned me a Frosty.
But it did earn you a Frosty, yeah. Because I'd set the line at 25.
Yeah. I set the line at 25.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought that Arkadelphia would be closer than that, and end up they lost by 29.
Yeah. And so, great week for the Scrapperettes. They're the regional champs from the South region here, and they're going to play Little Rock Mills.
It could still be a while, Greg, before they're in a competitive ball game.
Yeah.
And I will say this, if they get in a competitive ball game, because they are really, really good.
Yeah, and one of the things that we can mention real quickly is we look at the state playoff brackets, and the AAA and their infinite wisdom is elected to probably play what we would consider the two best teams in 4A against each other in the semifinals if they make it that far.
Yeah.
You know, and anybody can win these games, but you got to look at the records and how everybody's played and everything. And I think if you look at what we see, Nashville Pulaski Academy, probably top two teams in 4A.
Well, absolutely. And, you figure tradition in there as well. There are teams that are there every year. And mm-hmm. I'm sure that neither one of those squads were happy to see the other in their bracket.
No.
I think that's a safe assumption.
Because I'm going to bet you both those coaches knew it at the beginning of the season, though.
Yeah. They knew it was happening. Absolutely.
Yeah. But anyway, you look forward to seeing how the Scrapperettes play this week in the state tournament. Moving on to the Nashville Scrappers, they're 20-4 on the year. You know, just another great year for them, too, Tony. They beat Monticello and then lost to Star City in overtime. And then beat Watson Chapel. So they're going to be the third seed. They're going to play Little Rock Hall Wednesday at 5:30 in the state tournament. So they're going to be playing right after we play.
Yes.
At the Lady Leopards play. So it'll be two teams from down here. So maybe that'll give them a little bit of extra people there watching the game. So that'll be great. Talking about the regional tournament for the Scrappers, same players, Tony.
Yeah.
We got to watch a little bit of their games. And, you watch Demetrius Shelley. You see Jonte Taylor. You see
Bo Bell.
Yeah, Bo Bell.
You're getting choked up.
I'm getting choked up. Excuse me just a second.
I will say this while we're on this, Greg, and you're getting a drink. Nashville did an A-plus job hosting the regional. I'm telling you, from having everything lined up. I mean, the biggest hiccup in the whole thing was Camden Fairview was 10 minutes late getting to the gym. That wasn't Nashville's fault, and our game started 10 minutes later. But, man, the hospitality room was spectacular.
The food.
A big virtual hug going out to West Dowdy's mom.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was great. The whole thing was run very professionally. Bunch Nichols did a great job. Absolutely. Always wanting to know whatever he wanted. Had us all set up.
He did.
To do what we needed to do.
He always came over, see if we needed anything. I mean, it was really good.
Yeah, we appreciate that so much, too. And, we're looking forward to seeing how the Scrappers are going to do in the state tournament. But I had a chance to talk with Aaron Worthen, and we're going to hear that now.
All right, I'm here with Coach Aaron Worthen of the Nashville Scrappers. And Coach Worthen, big week for y'all last week. First of all, I want to just tell you how much I appreciate the hospitality that Nashville had for the regional tournament. It was a great tournament, and y'all did a really good job of putting it on, and appreciate that. But when you look at the Scrappers, they did well. Had a tough second game there, and against Star City, went to overtime, just couldn't pull it out there, but got the third seed with a win over the Watson Chapel boys. And so now you're going to the state tournament at Morrilton, and you're going to face the, I believe, Hall Warriors, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Yeah. And so what can you – first, tell us a little bit about the week and how you felt it went for you and everything. I mean, obviously, I know you want to win every game, but
Well, you know, it was a great week. Started at the top with Mr. Graham, Coach Nichols, and Tate Gordon, down through all of our administrators, the coaches, the different teachers that worked in the concession stand, the custodial staff working double, triple duty, and maintenance staff same way. I mean, it was a great team effort to see everybody come together and run that tournament the way that it was run, and to see everybody enjoy themselves as much as they did, and to hear the kind words from so many people such as yourself about how the tournament was run. It just means that, you know, the community of Nashville really pulls together to support the scrappers, and it's great. Sorry. And we're very thankful for that.
I think y'all did a great job. So
now onto the games. You know, it was a good week, up and down, obviously. Started out with a solid against Monticello. We had played them earlier in the year, and so we knew that the challenges that team presented, and we came out and we shot the ball pretty well that night. 35% from three is usually gonna do a pretty good job. We're just a shade under 60%, and 60% from twos, and those are two team goals that we have. Didn't shoot as many free throws as I'd hope, but you know, when the shots are falling, you don't end up getting fouled as much.
Yeah.
Then, you know, turn the page and we roll into a very talented Star City team who we played in the non-conference as well. And I knew exactly what we were getting into. They're very athletic, very well coached. They do a good job of utilizing the talent that they've got. They've got two really talented guards over there and a few really good pieces to go around them, very athletic, very big. And so we knew we were going to have to do a good job defensively and really going to have to make sure that we were on point when it comes to rebounding the ball. And unfortunately, those are the two areas that really let us down and led to us not being able to pull that game out. I thought the kids fought hard. It wasn't a question of effort. They played hard, and I was proud of them. It's just, you know, little things. You know, we look at the stats on the night, and we gave up 17 offensive rebounds. And unfortunately, a lot of those ended up with just tip-in second chance points. And you know the sad thing is, if you take one of those off the board in regulation, we end up winning by two. But you know, you can go back and do the game all you want. So yeah, the biggest thing that we had to do was be able to turn the page and try to make sure that we got that third seed in the consolation game. And it's something that we talk about year in and year out, because sometimes you find yourself in these situations and sometimes you don't. But in the situations when you are there, it's really about who's going to be bought into really wanting that game. Because both teams the night before suffered a tough loss. In the situation with us, it was a tough overtime loss where we played an extra 4 minutes, and then Watson Chapel had a rough outing against Magnolia. So two completely different scenarios, but it's going to be who wants it more the next day. And I thought our kids came out, and it wasn't a perfect game by any means. We had some issues. We didn't shoot the ball very well. We were just 1 for 16 from three, which is very rare for us. I mean, those guys that I've got, the guards, when you talk about Bo Bell and Jonte Taylor and Demetra Shelley, they're usually going to help us get, you know, we average around 8 threes made a game. And so only knocking down 1 3 on the day was not a good thing. But then you turn around and you look at it, we did a good job defensively, held them under 50, which is always one of our team goals. And then we shot 78% from the free throw line, so that helps. And then we turned them over more than we had our own turnover. So I mean, you look at those little things and those add up along with the fact that we were able to win the rebounding battle quite decisively, which anytime we do that, we've really done something, because I don't really have a team full of monsters, unfortunately.
Well, you know, I got to watch a lot of that game, and I thought they played really hard. And the you kind of brought up something that I've always wondered about. You know, when you play like that regional tournament, like three games, 3 days, or pretty much, or 3 or 4 days, and you know, as you get to the end of it, do you see the legs go out a little bit and the shooting percentages fall down? Is that normal, or
is it is, and that's where we're on our kids about making sure that they take care of themselves, getting enough sleep that they need to. Then we had them up and early Saturday morning to make sure that they didn't lay in the bed all day and just come in, you know, kind of zombied out. We've got a great training staff, so they do everything that they can to get those legs back under them, with Tessa Moody doing a great job, and JC Martin has been with us all year as well. So we've been very thankful of them. And so, you know, it's definitely grueling to play three games in 3 days, but you know, if you're going to try to win a state championship, you have to be able to do something pretty similar. So it's something that we talk to the kids about. We push them during the season with practices and scheduling wise in the non-conference, trying to test them out and see what we can do over those stretches. And then making sure that we're consistent in the weight room. Coach Cliff does a great job with our weight room stuff, and I'm blessed to have him with me lockstep every day. And so it's a process, but these kids have really done a good job of trying to make sure that they hold their own.
Well, congratulations on a good week at the regional tournament. Moving on to the state tournament now, you're going to go up and play Hall first. Tell us a little bit about them.
Oh, man, they're talented. Very, very talented team. They've, of course, you know, most of those teams that come out of that region are battle tested, because that's, you know, year in and year out, since they've changed everything up, that is the toughest region in my opinion. When you look at the teams that come out of it, you've got the teams like Mills, who won it. Well, they were the 2 seed going into that tournament in their conference. Hall and Mills split during the regular season, and Hall had the tiebreaker, so Hall was the 1 seed going into the regional tournament, and Mills was the 2, and they just flip-flop whenever you're talking about the regional tournament. Fountain Lake is very, very tough. They beat Mills, split with them. East Stem is very good. Coach Patel does a great job up there. And then you're looking at the other side of that region with Marlton being very talented. A lot of people were high on Robinson early in the year, and that was a group that, as good as they were, they didn't even end up making the region, which tells you just how good that region is. So when you're looking at a lot of quality teams fighting for 4 spots, you're going to see some good teams end up on the outside looking in, and the teams that make it are going to be battle tested and going to be really ready for that postseason run. Now, on the flip side of that, you know, they're gonna have their own challenges too. You know, you could play a lot of those games, and you play some of those tough opponents, and they're gonna wear you down a little bit. So they're gonna be looking to rebound from that weekend and a disappointing end to their regional tournament. I know they had a big win over Mills at the end of the conference season, and I know they were wanting to do the same thing. So I know they're going to be a little disappointed and trying to flip the page and try and make sure that they don't end their season on a low note. So we're going to have to make sure that we prepare very, very well for this team. They're very talented. They've got some bigs, they've got some quality guards, and they are very, very good defensively. So it's definitely going to be a challenge, but I feel like my team has been battle tested, and I like what we bring to the table. And you know, this time of year, it's survive in advance. So hopefully we can catch a little luck and, you know, maybe make a run out of it.
Well, I think the exact same things, Coach. And I'm not gonna make the mistake and ask you to go to the next game because I know all your thoughts are just strictly on Hall, and you don't want to talk about the next game. And I understand that. And but I do appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. And look forward to seeing how the Scrappers do in the state tournament. And I hope good luck to you, and we'll talk next week and see how they did in the state tournament, if that's all right with you.
That sounds great. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much.
As always, thank y'all for everything you do to help support our kids and get their names out there. It really means a lot.
Thank you.
Need reliable poultry equipment and service? Look no further than Hometown Poultry Supply in Nashville, right next to McDonald's. They carry the brands you know and trust, and they offer 24/7 service and repair because they know their birds can't wait. Whether you're updating, retrofitting, or starting fresh, Hometown Poultry Supply has your back.
Now it's time to talk about the Horatio Lions and Lady Lions. Horatio Lions finished their basketball season. Lady Lions played in the regional tournament down in Hampton. They lost to Ouachita 48-41. Aaliyah Ayers and Natalie Dorsey both had good games. Congratulations to the Lady Lions on an excellent season. And we appreciate them and all they did all year long for us, and we'll see them in softball.
Yeah, softball and baseball right away, right?
That's right.
Nice.
And we're going to move on now to the former Gators. The former Lady Gators season is over. Former Gators went down to regionals and lost to Junction City 80-67.
A lot closer than that score indicates. I watched that ball game.
And Foreman ends up 18-6 on the year. Had to be one of the most fun teams to watch in our area.
I think. Agree.
And the Easter boys, just unbelievable. And Lawson Mears came through with a great game down there for them. And their season's now over. So as with everybody else's season's over, they're moving on to baseball too. Just mentioned the Ashdown Panthers and Pantherettes. Their seasons are over. They're starting baseball this week. And if you want to listen to them, you can listen to them on KILX.
And the KILX app has a new feature. It works.
That's right. There you go.
It's a great new
feature. That always comes in handy.
Yeah. That's great. But Jim Cross ready to do some baseball and softball. Right. I know he can't wait to get out there. He loves it.
That's right.
Now we're going to move on to the Mena Bearcats and Lady Cats. Their season also over. They're moving on to softball and baseball. Thanks to the coaches for all helping us get all the information during basketball season.
Coach Peters was great.
Yeah. Mm. And then Costot River Eagles, Lady Eagles, both their seasons are over. And appreciate Dakota Barrett. Couldn't get a better guy to help us out.
No. Nope.
He does a great job. And
he's actually coaching softball.
Well, he doesn't have anything to do in the spring. Yeah. Yeah. Just off-season football and spring practice.
Football, boys basketball, softball.
Yeah.
Is he doing soccer too?
I don't think so.
But anyway, shout out to him. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to move on to the Legacy Warriors. Legacy Warriors finished up their season also, and the Lady Warriors, and so we'll be talking about them more as we move forward in the spring.
Jobs.pilgrims.com. That is the website to go to see everything that Pilgrims offers in the way of careers. The leading global provider of high-quality food products, including well-recognized brands and value-added premium products. As one of the world's largest poultry producers and a fully integrated pork producer, Pilgrims has provided wholesome quality products to customers and consumers for more than 7 decades. And they have over 58,000 team members, taking great pride in providing more than 133 million daily servings of protein to retailers, restaurants, food service providers, and consumers around the world. The company includes 39 production facilities and 27 prepared food facilities in 14 states, the UK, Puerto Rico, Mexico, and Europe. Pilgrims is proud to partner with more than 4,900 family farms for poultry and over 6,300 family farms for hog and lamb supplies. Their vision guides everything they do to be the best and the most respected company in the industry, creating the opportunity of a better future for their team members. I'm talking hourly production, plant operations and support, drivers, research and development, quality assurance and food safety, human resources, sales and marketing, accounting and finance, professional opportunities. If you think you could be an asset to the company, you should go to jobs.pilgrims.com and even check out their benefits, better futures, insurance, growth. There is no better company to take ownership of your career growth than JBS. Explore the opportunities for development with a global food company. Take advantage of more than 2,000 courses in their development learning program offerings, online learning, and ad hoc courses. 401ks. With your 401k, they offer company match, long-term tax benefits, investment options, and geographic flexibility. And, of course, paid holidays and time off. So all of your benefits take taken care of, your career taken care of, absolutely amazing. And that's not even to get into their community action that they take here, right here in Southwest Arkansas and all over. Whether it's community events, fundraisers, you can always see Pilgrims participating in some form or fashion, whether it's providing chicken for fundraisers and just so much more. They're always a huge member of the community. They employ so many people here, and it's a perfect fit for our podcast. Of course, we love having Pilgrims on. It makes total sense, and they're big supporters of all the local sports in the area, always big supporters of our radio station and everything. So we're so appreciative to have them on board. And if you're interested in joining their team, you should go to jobs.pilgrims.com.
Now we got the chance to talk about the Outlaws and Lady Outlaws, and we've got the Outlaw Aficionado, Jeff Tuttle, King Tut.
King Tut.
The fish part, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fish.
Yeah, he's a fish.
Hey, what's going on with the Outlaws, man?
Well, y'all talked about the regional at Nashville and how well it went. Let me just say it didn't go as well at Hampton. Things didn't run real smooth down there.
Yeah, well, tell us what you really think.
I can't. I think I was called on there. Their broadcast telling people what I really thought, isn't it?
Oh, I'd love I couldn't hear you, but your face was the camera was full of Jeff Tuttle face. I can tell you this, like that's right here.
That's a beautiful thing.
That's not what I said.
It's like a sunrise.
We'll talk a little basketball.
Let's do it.
The Outlaws finished their season up at Hampton. They were defeated by Woodlawn 62-56. It was a really good ball game. Woodlawn's got a kid, Jude Roberts. He's the real deal. He signed with UAM at Monticello. He had 9 points at the half, finished with 29, and he was the difference in the ball game. I mean, he had his way in the second half. For the Outlaws, McLean Smith had 13 points, Peyton Beckman 11, Jacoby Faulkner 10. They were the only ones in double digits. But, you know, it's been a good season for the Outlaws. You know, I even made a post on Facebook the other day, and I don't think I hurt any of their feelings because I told some of the players and the coach that after three games this year, four games, I told a few people this was the sorriest Derek's Outlaw basketball team I'd ever seen. And
you ought to be an inspirational speaker.
They proved me wrong.
Writing green cards somewhere in a basement or something.
Coach Collum's first year, they bought into what he was doing. They had senior leadership. I mean, and this team, they really impressed me down the stretch and the things they done. Those senior leaders, I want to mention them real quick, that played their last ball game for the Outlaws. Ben Ernest, Briar James, Peyton Beckman, Colton Gadberry, and Jacob Runyon. You know, and those guys will be missed.
Well, so the Outlaws moving on to baseball now.
Start. Baseball, you got me in that time machine right now. On Monday.
Okay. Mm.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Don't even.
Yeah, they've already played that baseball game.
At FAP.
Yeah.
They play Mineral Springs on Friday, depending on how state tournament action goes for the Lady Outlaws. You know, if they win and play, the Outlaws won't have the baseball game, of course. But speaking of the Lady Outlaws, they had a pretty good week in Hampton. You know, they started things out against Hampton. The Lady Outlaws, the one seed, Hampton the four. Final score of that game, 64-29. Addison Hill had 19, Savannah Tedford 10. Both of them in double digits. And then, you know, everybody else, a smattering of 6 points and 8 points. And all the Lady Outlaws contribute defensively, offensively. And then they got their revenge matchup against Wichita. Wichita knocked the Lady Outlaws out of the regional in the first round last year in a 3-overtime game. It was a great game to watch and call, but we came out on the losing end of it. And I heard a rumor that some of the parents might have made their kids watch that game several times last week before the rematch. And
that's a good way to do it. Shock therapy.
I said, if I was the coach, I would have put the score on the scoreboard in the gym and just left it up there all week. Mm-hmm. But whatever they done, it worked. The Lady Outlaws defeated the Lady Warriors of Wichita 57-30. Riley Simmons led the way with 16 points. Addison Hill had 12. And that got them into the finals of the regional tournament with another matchup. They were looking for revenge against Powen. Powen defeated them earlier this year by 2 points. Undefeated on the season, Powen, I believe, is 31-0 now. And they defeated the Lady Outlaws 61-52. Addison Hill had 20 points. She was the only Lady Outlaw in double figures in that one. And that Lady Outlaws are now, some people say 29. I've got them with 30 wins and 6 losses. 2 of those losses to Powen, who they hope to see again if things go right.
Mm-hmm.
If they play them again, state tournament's at Powen. But if they play Powen again, it will be in Hot Springs, championship game. The Lady Outlaws move on to the state tournament and play Buffalo Island Central at 1 o'clock on Thursday in their first round matchup. So good luck to them.
At least you don't have to go to Buffalo Island Central.
Is Buffalo really on an island?
Yeah.
Is it?
Are there buffaloes or islands in Arkansas?
Yeah.
It's a lot like Alcatraz.
Oh, okay. So not Alligator Island.
Where is this place?
Over there. It's close to the Mississippi River.
Is it an island in the Mississippi River?
Well,
you know what I know about Buffalo anymore. Island Central?
What?
I've seen them play, I can't think of what year it is. Do y'all remember James Anderson from Junction City that played for Oklahoma State?
Mm-hmm.
The state tournament was at Jesseville, and me and Jody McCoy, I don't know if you know him or not.
Yeah,
I don't. We went to Jesseville to watch. We wanted to see James Anderson play to see if he was really all of that. At halftime, the score was 32-30, I believe, Buffalo Island Central ahead. And James Anderson had 28 of the 30 points for Junction City.
Wow, man.
He finished with like 36, and they lost. But not due to bad officiating, which I would like to address right now.
Yeah. All right, let's get into it.
I did see a post you made thanking some local officials about how great they were.
I mean, they're the best I've seen this year. Hampton, Arkansas. They should be, Hampton didn't do it, but the officials should be ashamed of themselves. I'm not one to criticize officials during the game on the broadcast. I was that guy this past week. I mean, I don't think the Lady Outlaws lost. You know, in the grand scheme of things, I don't think it's a huge loss because you still have to do what you want to do to win what your goal is.
Yeah.
And sure, you want to win that regional final. And I'll go back to the Foreman Gators and Horatio Lady Lions. Officiating cost the Foreman Gators that game, as well as the Lady Outlaws against Powen. There's a guy, everybody search him out on Facebook and send him a message. Delvecchio Rudd.
Well, it's an interesting name.
It is an interesting name, and not only does he have trouble spelling it, he has trouble knowing the rules of basketball.
Yeah.
I could go on and on. I'm not going to.
Oh, come on. Uh-huh. We got a short show anyway. Yeah. You want to go ahead?
He was short. We got a short show, and he was really short.
That's the problem right there.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know.
I mean, I will say this. Without, I posted the play, one of the plays, on my Facebook page. Yeah. You just go and look for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a charge or is it a flop? I imagine to get a charge, there's actually got to be contact. But
there were 6 charges called in that game, I believe, against the Lady Outlaws. There might have been one. I've not seen 6 charges taken in the last 2 years that I've done basketball games. I don't know about y'all, But
well, we've got a couple of charge block experts on our basketball teams. That Caitlin Lindsay, man, she'll just get in front of anybody.
Yeah.
As Spud Moore and myself said on the air, there's a reason every player on Poen's team wears long knee pads. They're going to take that flop. Hmm. They're taught to. I mean, nothing against them. That's what they're taught to do. And if the official calls it, like Del Vecchio Rudd.
I guess I saw one video. It just looked like a player getting, you know, as they call it, right? Their ankle's broken. That's what it looked like. You know? No contact. Just.
And you would have thought that, I mean, you would have thought they were going to bring an ambulance out there to get her off the court.
Yeah.
I got quit.
So that was a charge call.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to tell you it's going to get better. But I can't do it.
Well, I mean, and I told somebody that the other day when they were talking about it. I said, I'll never forget Austin Mack and him senior year, regional was at Derrick, state tournament at Junction City, and officiating. I mean, everybody's going to always complain about officiating.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some guys called in the regional at Derrick's, and I thought, man, they're not good. But I didn't complain about it on the radio like I did a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
I just said, man, I hope we don't see them again. So we go to Junction City State Tournament, same crews on the court.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask. Is old Del Vecchio going to be on the court at this next tournament?
Nah, I've already heard somebody might take him out.
Oh, okay.
Instead, if they see him. This guy said if they see him, he'll be banned from outlaw sports for life. It really was that bad, guys. Wow. I mean, I know we exaggerate and carry on, but it was a game changer.
Yeah. Well, one of the things about, and Tony and I talked about this maybe off the air and probably some on the air, is the thing I want from referees is consistency.
Yeah, that's what we said.
And what you have, if you want to call a game close, you know, you can't let people – you can foul somebody with your belly just as much as you can with your arm.
Mm-hmm.
And unless somebody's doing this, they don't call a foul. And the other thing they do is that irritates me is they wait to see if the ball goes in the hole before they call a foul.
Mm-hmm.
And when the
NBA continuation, we see a lot of that.
Yeah, the NBA continuation rule was in full effect at Hampton. By the way,
we're not talking about layups or. Or shots on the run. We're talking about jumpers. Who the official waits to see if the ball goes in the hole. If it doesn't,
then he calls a foul. Yeah,
and three or four seconds after the shot.
Here's the deal with me is, I mean, I a foul's a foul. Now, either they were fouled and they make the shot and they get an extra free throw, or they get the free throws. But you call it when it happens.
And you know. Just to kind of go back to this, and we kind of talked about this a little bit off there. I said it when the Outlaws played Poen at Bismarck. I felt like the officials were there to watch Kennedy Barrett, one of the best players in the state. She's a sophomore for Poen, and everybody knows about her. Her dad promotes her on the internet. Her coach, Mickey Schaefer, everybody's known him for 40 years, promotes her. So all the officials know her. And it was the same thing the other night. She scored 30 points. She's scoring 25 regardless. But it's like the officials think, this kid, I know her. She's good and can do no wrong.
Yeah.
You know, she barrels into the lane and runs people over, and it's a block.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other end, if we do the same thing, it's a charge.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm with you. Consistency is what you're looking for. But the names out there, and that's
sometimes
what they
don't even require contact to get a charge.
Absolutely. Watch that video that Tony posted.
Well,
just being in the airspace of somebody.
Well, you know, and the thing about it is that every foul is not equal. So if you come up at the end of the game and both teams got 15 fouls, that doesn't mean that the game was called equally, either bad or good, because fouls happen at certain times make a whole lot of difference than other fouls. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, if you got somebody that, you know, you take away 2 points and possibly an extra free throw, and you go, the team goes down on the other end, hits a three, that's 6 points.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and that's not the same as a foul with, you know, it. 5 seconds left.
There was one case the other night where after those 6 charges had been called, maybe just 5 at that point, one official called a blocking foul on the Lady Indians, not Delvecchio Rudd, another one. And the Crimean Sputter on the Poland side, you know, that's where they had us set up. Their crowd was in shock. You know, literally could not believe that that was not a charge.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, I think about just that the age we live in. You know, I remember when I played, I remember growing up, you know, you saw something like that, and then it was just etched in your mind, but it wasn't out there to go out and watch over and over and over and over again. In today's age, every game is streamed. Half the parents have their phones out recording their kids, things like that.
Announcers to talk about it.
Well, and, man, it is a tough time to be an official.
Enough about Delvecchio.
Rudd.
And the Lady Indians. This Lady Outlaw team, you got to focus on them. They've still got things they want to accomplish. You know, they didn't blame the loss on anything. You know, so, hey, they've had a great season, and they look to continue it for another week or so.
Excellent. We appreciate it. And the new title of this episode is going to be Delvecchio Fudd.
Rudd.
Oh, Rudd, not Fudd.
Okay. Elmer
yeah.
Rudd.
Yeah, Elmer Rudd. Or Delvecchio Fudd. Well, that pretty much wraps it up for the high school stuff.
CCCUA.edu. That is UA Cossatot's website for you to find out everything you need to know about applying and enrolling, programs of study, how to pay for college, all of their athletics and apparel, student life, community and workforce, and so much more. Your medical education will start here. UA Cossatot has the third highest college graduation rate in the state of Arkansas and is proud to be the first and only Hispanic serving institution in the state as a member of the Hispanic Association of Colleges and Universities. We offer degrees and certificates in more than 24 fields and are a leader in implementing more affordable textbook-free courses and boast a variety of professional industry training certifications, small class sizes, low tuition, and quality online and in-class instruction. UA Cossatot is committed to improving the lives of those in our region by providing quality education, outstanding service, and relevant industry training. And by going to cccua.edu, you can find everything you need to know, again, about campus dining and campus maps, the Center for Student Success and Consumer Information, financial aid, textbooks, payments, career pathways, scholarships, and so much more. Find out their vast amount of programs of study on offer, and you can find out how to apply and enroll right from their great website. Check out the Colts gift shop as well. And you can go to uacossatotcolts.com to find out everything you need to know about the Colts, whether it's basketball, soccer, or shooting sports. Any Colts fans can find all the information that they need and merchandise they need on uacossatotcolts.com. And go to cccua.edu today. Time for my favorite segment of the show, and that's the award show. So excited to give out awards. I wish I could give them out to everybody, including one for Delvecchio.
Yeah, well, we'll give him.
He was Poland Player of the Week.
There you go.
But before we start with the actual recipients of awards, I want to talk about a few of our sponsors. Mm-hmm. Players, they didn't have players. I just want to thank Dom Tar for their sponsorship of the Panther Player of the Week, Union Bank of Mena for the Mena Bearcats, and also the Costot River Eagles Players of the Week, Stillwell's Restaurant for sponsoring the Warriors Player of the Week. And I think I got all of them covered, Tony, didn't
you? Yeah, the ones that we're going to talk about
here
in a little bit.
So now we're going to move on to some that played this week, and we're going to go with the Shelter Insurance Jeff Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week.
Going to be Heavenly Pickens. Had a good regional tournament over at Nashville, sophomore. And, boy, at times she's put the Leopards on her back this season and carried them.
And moving on, we're going to go with the Horatio State Bank Lion Player of the Week. That's going
to go to Senior Natalie Dorsey.
Yeah. Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week this week.
Going to be Lawson Mears.
And the Loveless Refrigeration Scrapper Player of the Week.
Jalen Staggers had 42 points and 2 double-doubles in the regional tournament this weekend.
Yeah. The Shelter Insurance Todd Moore Agency Outlaw Player of the Week is going to...
to no one's shock, it's going to be Addison Hill.
I'm surprised at that. Yeah. So that's all the awards for the teams. Now we're going to the area awards. Our Toad Thumper Lures Girls Player of the Area this week is going to be?
It's going to be Landry Ligon for the DeQueen Leopards. Landry had a really good regional tournament, shot in the 40% range from three this mm-hmm. weekend, and really had a good tournament.
That's right. And moving on to the Horatio State Bank Boys Player of the Area, that's going to be?
It's going to be Nashville's Demetrius Shelley. All he did was have 56 points and 26 rebounds in the regional this weekend.
That's it.
That's all.
That's all.
Man, that's a good game. That's a good season.
That's a good season.
Well, this is pretty much my career right here.
Yeah.
Those are my
career. I don't believe you had that many rebounds.
Yeah. No, I don't either.
But a great week by Demetrius, and congratulations to him. And we're going to go with the Mud Creek Designs Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air Player of the Area, and the winner of the beautiful T-shirt designed by Mud Creek Designs is
Carson Scrivener. 2,000 points in her
that's amazing
as a scrapper.
You know, we've covered a lot of 1,000-point winners, but 2,000 points is really amazing.
Yep. And I was talking with Kenny Barton and my dad about this sitting on the porch yesterday. It was such a beautiful day. Man, you know, within 45 minutes, three tremendous girls basketball teams in the Lady Outlaws, Lady Leopards, and the Scrapperettes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, it just seems like this region is prime for good girls basketball.
Yeah, it really is, and they're going to be in the thick of things all the way up until the end. And congratulations to Carson. Got the chance to meet her over there. Lovely young lady.
Absolutely.
Appreciate her so much.
In the hospitality room, which is really good, by the way.
Yeah.
Did we say that?
Yeah. She it bothered me a little bit. She did interrupt my meal, but I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I asked her to come up there. But anyway, we got one more thing to do, and we got to do the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air Game of the Week. And you know what we're going to do with that?
What?
We're going to go with every game.
Oh, cop out.
Hey, every game. Hey, it's win or go home.
That's
now.
That's right. Yeah, they're all huge now.
Yeah, we got four teams going to state. We got the Nashville Scrappers. We got the Scrapperettes, the Lady Outlaws, and the Lady Leopards. And congratulations to them for mm-hmm. making it to state.
Yeah.
And go teams.
Good call.
I just want to say one more thing. You're bragging on that hospitality room. Down there at Hampton, there was a guy in the hospitality room named Delvicchio Rudd, and he was charging people to eat.
He was charging them. Did you call him for it?
Thank you very much. Hold the applause.
That's pretty much all we got for high school.
DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West right here in DeQueen. Give them a call at 870-642-8387. That's Vets. And you can schedule your appointment today or ask any questions that you might need. And Ashdown Veterinary Clinic at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown, 870-898-5181. Schedule your appointment or ask any questions with Ashdown Veterinary Clinic as well. Martin Veterinary Services has been a proud sponsor of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air since the very beginning, and we appreciate them so much for that, and not only that, what they do for the community, and that is offer high-quality veterinary services to everybody here, whether it's just simple stuff, spaying and neutering, or medications, checkups, and things like that, down to more serious things. You can trust Martin Veterinary Services to take care of you, and don't just take my word for it. There are a ton of good reviews on Google and across the board. You can check out their Facebook page as well, DeQueen Animal Hospital / Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, and hundreds of reviews, all 5 stars. And, you know, you always need to be able to trust the person that you're taking your pets to, and Martin Veterinary Services is the one. I have used them for multiple occasions, whether it's with my dogs or my cats, and they've been an absolute delight. Such a blessing to have them in this community offering these services. So we appreciate them so much, and you can go to DeQueen Animal Hospital or Ashdown Veterinary Clinic today for all your veterinary needs.
That's going to wrap up all the high school sports that we have for this week, but now it's time to talk about some more national topics, and this segment is brought to you by Mina pre-owned for all of your pre-owned vehicle needs. Visit Mina Pre-Owned today.
All right, it's time to talk about several different things. I'm going to talk about the Razorbacks real quickly, basketball-wise, because they were horrendous Saturday, and that's all I want to say about it. I don't think Florida just beat them like yard dogs. Hopefully they can come back and get back on track, but, I mean, man, what a beating they took down there.
I listened to that on the way home from Hampton, and it was hard to listen to.
Yeah. And been to the last couple of games. I went up to watch them play Missouri, and then also went and watched them play Texas A&M. And man, Acuff's an amazing basketball player. But I believe Boogie might have got the best of him down there in Florida. At least they did. But anything y'all want to talk about on them?
Is it that hard to go on the road in the SEC? I mean, their home record versus road record has to be.
Florida's probably, because they're kind of head and shoulders above. But if you look at most of them in most years, that's the way everybody is. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to go Tuttle on you. It's refereeing. The calls you get at home in the SEC, they'll call the exact opposite on the road.
Does Mr. Rudd call in the SEC?
He may be.
Do you not agree with that?
Yeah. And, another thing, we like to think the Razorbacks are better than they are.
Yeah.
And say, man, this might be our year to win the national championship.
That's every year.
Florida plans on winning the national championship.
Yeah.
I mean, won it last year, and they think they can do it again. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are the best team.
Yeah, they're legit. So, I do think that there's a tremendous difference in the way things are called in the SEC on the road and at home. And I say it, the Razorbacks get advantage of it at Bud Walton too. I firmly believe that. And why that is, again, I don't know. A foul is a foul no matter where you are. It doesn't matter if we're playing pickup ball back there on
Gainesville or Fayetteville. Yeah. A foul's a foul.
That's right. It's the same.
When you're on the road, you can get in a rut. I mean, a rut. Yeah. Yeah.
But,
y'all are gonna run me off.
But anyway, they've got a couple of games this week. They've got a game against Texas, which is huge, and then they've got a game at Missouri, which they really need to win that game, I think, going into the SEC tournament, because I think that's Missouri's senior night. It's going to be the last game. I think they'll have it out for them, and I think that, they're going to have to play well. When I watched them play Missouri, I tell you what I'd be doing. If I was Calipari, I'd be getting their number 25 and getting some NIL money trying to get him down here.
Mm-hmm.
He wore us out in Fayetteville. I mean, he had like 25 points and a really good inside player. And, up there, when you start getting three-point plays instead of two-point plays, it makes a lot of difference too. So big week for the Razorbacks there. Razorback baseball, got a chance to go to a baseball game. I didn't get to see Arkansas State wear them out, but I did get to go to the most boring thing I've ever seen in my life, which was a 1-0 scored in the first inning, and then there was
which was actually better than the result the day before.
Yeah, well, they won. Yeah.
Yeah.
They did
win.
How
long did it last?
Longer than it should have, because they changed pitchers 42 times. With being early and not being a conference game, they changed. I'm telling you, in one inning, Arkansas State at the end, in eighth inning, they changed pitchers 4 times in the eighth inning.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, and Greg and I talked about this. We get to talk a lot in the car. I saw the thing pop up that they had been beat 4-3, And I looked at that logo, and I can look at most college logos. There's 300 and some NCAA basketball teams, right? And I can look at most of them. I can tell you who they are.
Mm-hmm.
I said, who in the world is that? I had to go look it up, and it was UT Arlington mm-hmm. that beat them 4-3. And it made the Razorbacks so mad they went out and trounced them 1-0 the next day.
and they beat them twice, 2 out of 3. But I mean, and I don't know. Who knows? With NIL stuff going on and everything,
you're right.
UT Arlington maybe win the whole thing, yeah. College World Series. You don't know.
Well, we played them a few years ago in either the regional or super regional.
Yep, we did, and they played well. But anyway, and just throw a bone out at softball. They did really well this weekend. They had the
they're playing really well.
Yeah, they're really playing well, and they're fun to watch.
They are.
They really are fun to watch.
I'm telling you what, man. You know, I know that we live in a microwave society where, you know, people like things to happen quickly, and it's one of the reasons that baseball instituted, you know, the pitch clock and the ghost runners and things like that. But man, softball just moves it at so much better a pace.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, and you and I've talked about it.
Yeah.
And I know there's purists out there that can't stand the pitch clock and can't stand you know, ghost runners and things like that. But I'm going to tell you, I like it.
Yeah. Well, anything to speed up the game.
Yeah.
Because games that last in 3.5-4 hours are not
suitable. Either keep the pitch clock or make the game 7 innings instead of 9.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I, you know, I think, you know, you just have to, a lot of it's designed by TV, which brings me to a point I want to talk about with the Razorback Athletics. I went up there when they played Missouri. They played them at basketball at 3 o'clock. They had a baseball and two softball games, and there was no way you could go to them. They were all at the same time, which is ridiculous.
I agree.
I mean, you know, one of the things up there, it's for a lot of people that are fans, it's a trip up there. So you go up there and you can't do anything except one of the four games that were being played.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And you know, and you say, well, you could go for a little while to one to the other. You can't move around up there that fast. It's right. There's too many people.
Right.
I mean, you know, you leave the baseball game in the third inning trying to get to the basketball game. Yeah, it's hard to do.
Yeah.
It's really hard to do. But I don't know why they don't change it. And the only thing I can think of is TV. But the only game that was on real TV, I mean, they stream that other stuff. But
yeah.
That doesn't matter. They can stream that any time.
Even the ESPN Plus stuff is basically done by the universities.
That's right.
I mean, the guys that call Marshall on ESPN Plus, I know who those guys are. One of them is a sports commentator in Huntington on one of the local TV stations, mm-hmm. and the other's a former Marshall basketball player. You tell me they can't be there at 11 a.m. instead of 3 p.m.?
That's right. That's so, right. And it's the same way with baseball and softball. I mean, I know that you know, the Missouri game was on ESPN or ESPN2, right. So, you know, that's probably fixed in there. But
girls softball? You can't make that flexible where more people could get there. And you know they want more people in the stands.
Sure they do, because guess where everybody goes?
Yeah.
That's the last place they went.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know, and so.
It wouldn't be the last place I'd go, but I'm sure it's the last place.
No, me either. But,
yeah.
But it is for most people. Anyway, just thought I'd throw that out there real quick. Talk about Taylen Green for a second.
I don't know what that jump means. Record for quarterbacks at the combine.
Uh-huh. He's an athlete.
He's an athlete, man.
Yeah, he's an athlete. You know, and he ran his
he basically jumped over Tuttle.
Yeah. His 40 time. Oh, he could do that easy. His 40 time.
Charge.
Yeah. And then run and call it a charge.
Yeah, I think his 40 time was like 4.37.
Yeah, it was
our running back turned in a good 40 time too.
Yeah. It was the best of the it wasn't a record, but it was the best of the running.
What was it 4.33, right?
Tied McFadden's whatever McFadden ran.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, so I mean it was really good, you know. I know that, you know, the thing about all this,
you wonder how Notre Dame beat us 100-0.
What about the
No, I don't know under that. That was defensive.
And I don't have a name, but you know, I saw where there was like a 6'5" 200 and maybe been 300-pound defensive lineman with a higher vertical than Bronny James. That's crazy too.
Yeah, it is.
I wish
crazy.
I had those numbers. I wish I knew.
Well,
what
they're saying that this performance moves Green into, yeah, he was probably going to be a top 10 quarterback. I mean, one of the 10, yeah,
probably third round, something.
Yeah,
like that.
Something, yeah, like that. But this may move him up because they seem more as an athlete, you know. And if you watched any Razorback football this year, I'm telling you, he made a lot of big plays with his feet. Now, you know, and there's some teams out there that like that kind of quarterback.
Mm-hmm. That's the great thing about the combine. You know, some people will help their stock, and then you got other. I mean, there's going to be quarterbacks that don't even throw.
Mendoza kid. He was just weighed and measured. I think he was 6'5", 225, something like that. And then
hit the road.
Hit the road.
I mean, his stock's not going to drop,
No. Well, but, that's what we, Greg and I talked about. All you know, he can do is hurt himself.
If he does throw and stuff, yeah. I mean, that's all he can do.
If you're going to be the number one pick, why in the world would you go out there and risk having a bad day, you know?
I mean, I agree with it 100%. And I think that's going to become more and more. You're going to look – that combine is going to be more for players that – need to prove something.
Yeah, that are either free agents trying to get into the draft or that's in the fourth, fifth round trying to get higher up in the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if Alabama basketball has their way, they'll get them from the combine on their team.
Or after they've been in the pros for a couple of years. Yep.
I tell you what, man, we joke, but holy cow. I mean, with the way the NCAA is going, if you played less than 100 plays last season, you can come back. And if you got any college eligibility, you can come back and play.
Nate Oates might be my least favorite coach in basketball or the NCAA. That's just because I can't remember the LSUs from a few years ago. But that's just because I don't know where he's at. But
jail.
He should be. Speaking of, Nate Oates had a starter who got drafted to the NBA that should have been in jail a few years ago.
Yep. Hey, you're exactly right about that. But anything else on basketball or combine or anything? You ready to move on to baseball?
I'm ready to move on to baseball.
All right, I'm going to let y'all have this.
Okay. I tell you, Buster Olney, who's probably ESPN's foremost authority on baseball, every year he puts out his best player at each position.
He thinks he is anyway.
Yeah, he does. He does. I'd like to get him on the show one time. He picks the best player at each position. And then I was going to just – well, I'll bounce them off you, Jeff, and you tell me if you can think of anybody that –
Well, I looked at this list, and I'm going to point out something really interesting when you get to naming some of these.
Okay. Paul Skenes for the Pirates, starting pitcher.
Libby Dunn. Oh, that's not – we wasn't doing a – That's
not an association game.
That's not what we're doing. Okay. Yeah, Skenes is a heck of a player. Yeah. I mean,
well, you see that last thing right there next to his name? It won't be there long.
Yeah, Pittsburgh.
Yeah. He'll be gone.
Hey, in the Yankees Pirates series last year, there were people wearing Yankees jerseys said Skenes on the back. Yeah. There was a thing out there that if the Pirates had averaged 3 runs a game in each of his starts, he'd have won 28 games last mm-hmm. year. That's amazing to me.
Yeah. And that's why he's going to move on.
Maybe so. Yeah. Relief pitcher Buster Olney has Mason Miller from the Padres.
And this is where it gets interesting. I don't know who that is. There's some of these I've never heard of. And I mean.
Well, are you pretty, do you watch it pretty closely?
Not like I used to. Yeah. Baseball.
I would have probably put Edwin Diaz from the Mets.
Who?
Edwin Diaz from the Mets.
So, yeah, I know him. I've heard of him.
Yeah, that's probably who I'd have put. Second baseman, Chaz Chisholm from the New York Yankees.
I have heard of him. I'm not sure how good he is.
Well, but is he better than Nico Hoerner from your Chicago Cubs?
I'm not a Cub guy.
Oh, you're a Reds guy. That's right. I always think you're a Cubs guy for some reason. Well, there's no Reds on here.
You missed the first baseman.
Well, I missed the catcher, too. Cal Raleigh, hard to argue that he's not the best catcher in baseball right
and
now.
And the only reason I know him is he was in the home run derby, I believe.
Yeah, he put on a show in the home run derby. First baseman Nick Kortz from the Oakland A's. You know, Bryce Harper might have a thing to say about that.
Yeah, I've never heard of this guy.
Shortstop Bobby Witt Jr. from the Kansas City Royals.
I was going to say, I know Bobby Witt. I don't know Jr.
Ranger fans may put Corey Seager out there, but I think Bobby Witt's probably better. Jose Ramirez, Cleveland Indians, third base.
I know him.
Yeah, Devers from Boston, also a really good third baseman. Aaron Judge, you got anything? You know who he is?
I've heard of him. He made a ruling on something.
Well, Stephen Sloan and I were actually in the stands in Arlington when he hit that record-breaking home run. So,
really?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah, it really was.
And see, I would think outfield would be the hardest to narrow down because there's so many choices.
Yeah.
I have heard of all three of these.
Yeah, Juan Soto, the Mets, Byron Buxton, Minnesota. I'd probably put the Rodriguez kid from Seattle in there at center field instead of Buxton, but they're both really good ball players. Mookie Betts, the Dodgers, Fernando Tatis, San Diego. I mean, you could go on and on with outfielders. DH, Otani. It's hard to argue that.
There's irony there to me that he's the best baseball player in the modern era, and he's a DH.
Yeah.
Is how you have to get him on the list. I mean,
yeah, yeah. And then, I mean, I was thinking about DHs, and the next best one I could think of was Kyle Schwarber from the Phillies. So,
yeah.
But that's what he thinks. And there's some.
What about manager?
Huh?
What about manager?
Who's the best manager in baseball right now? Maybe Roberts from the Dodgers.
With the success he's had, you'd nearly have to.
Yeah, but you know that he's also had all the money he needed to get all the players he wanted. If I think looking at managing is doing more with less. I mean,
I'm going to tell you then, I would probably, and maybe the Reds do get in this conversation, I think Terry Francona is a great manager.
Yeah.
He's won when he's had the talent to win. He's probably never had the best team in baseball, and he still won some. And as soon as the Reds go to Francona, they become a lot more competitive without changing personnel a whole lot.
Yeah.
So I like Terry Francona.
Well, I can't remember if it was Casey Stengel or which one of those old guys that said this. It might have been Tommy Lasorda. You know, you got 180 games. 60 of those you're going to lose no matter what. 60 of those you're going to win no matter what. It's those other 60 that managers make the difference.
Yeah. That's right.
And that's where you
got. That's pretty much, unless you're the White Sox, that's pretty much held true. You win a third or you lose a third, and then there's their third that's in the middle.
Yeah.
How many games did the White Sox win last year? Like 30?
I'm not sure.
It was something like that.
Yeah. Well, they got the draft first. So that's helpful. Anything else on professional baseball?
Nope. Kind of looking forward to starting, so. Have a little something to watch. The Pirates have played really well in the spring, which means they won't win a game for the first 4 weeks of the regular season.
Yeah. I've been there and done that.
And their best movie is the Mets are still paying Bobby Bowman.
That's true.
Who
retired in 2003.
The Pirates' best move last year was getting the Reds to bite on Key Brian Hayes' $8 million contract and getting him off the payroll.
Y'all got anything else?
I'm good.
You good? Hey, you want to talk about Delvecchio one more time before we go?
Our Sesame Street word of the day.
Delvecchio Rudd.
Let's spell it. Enough of him. Let's focus on these local teams that we have going to state tournament.
There you go.
Wish them all good luck.
Absolutely. Man, I would love nothing more than be talking about a bunch of victories next week with our local teams.
Yeah, that sounds great. But for now, we're just going to take a leave. We'll be back next week, but we appreciate everybody that helps us sponsor this show. We couldn't do it without you. We appreciate all the coaches and everybody that gets information to us. We need that, but most of all, we appreciate the kids. That's who we're doing it for. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
See you next week.